This is very different for me, and I am not a televangelist by any stretch of the imagination. This is definitely different, but I'll do the best I can to try to please the Lord this morning and preaching and trying to give you a message that God laid on my heart earlier this week to try to be an encouragement to the church and those that might be watching during the times that we're going through. God laid these verses on my heart. I imagine that there's pastors probably all over the world this morning that'll be preaching along the same thought as what we have this morning, but it must be the message that's needed in the day and the time and the hour that we are in. So take your Bibles with me, if you would, and turn to the book of James, chapter number 1. The book of James, chapter number 1. We're definitely in some times that I've never experienced. Not that I can remember, and I've heard some older men of God and ladies say they've never really quite have seen anything like this either, as far as a quarantine and dealing with some health things. And I do not believe that this is a specific attack on the church in any shape, but there are some things that we see are taking place that I believe are lining up and setting up the things that are to come that the Bible tells us about during the end times. And I don't think the us not having church or gathering is a direct attack on the church, like I said, because they're putting out restrictions on other businesses as well. And, you know, we might not understand how all that works, but I don't believe it is directly on the church. But we do see that the things that are happening are setting up some things as well. And I'm not going to get too much into the prophecy and what's to come next. I do want to say that we're getting closer. We're closer than we've ever been before. I believe that's another song that the Ellis family sings. And we are closer than we've ever been before. And I encourage you, church, that during the times like this, that number one, you make for sure that you're saved. We're going over salvation doctrine and Sunday school and understanding those things. And man, do not go another moment, another day without knowing for sure that you're saved. This thing, Christ could come back at any moment. And I pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And we don't know what's to come in the near future, but there's one thing I know where I'm going when I die. And I pray that you do as well. And so if you don't know, you need to know for sure that you're saved. Times like this are uncertain, and there's a lot of uneasiness in the air. And as a child of God, we ought to have peace through this time. And I'm going to be preaching along those lines this morning. But number one, you need to know that you're saved. And number two, not only know that you're saved, but if you know that He's coming back soon, and you know that this thing can end any moment, as we begin to think about the things unfolding, it can happen. You need to, I would make sure that you're right with Him. Make sure you're right with God. In order to be right with Him, maybe there's some family and some folks that we love that are around us that we need to make sure we're right with them as well and try to get our hearts right. We don't know when this thing will, what will happen. We don't know what's on tomorrow, but I do know who holds tomorrow. And He's the one that's holding me, and I'm thankful for it. James chapter number 1 and verse number 1, if you'll read with us. We're going to read down to verse number 8. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so I want to preach on this thought this morning. Why worry? Why worry? We do see that this time that we're living in, that there are those that are worrying and they're wondering what's to come and what's next, and they're worried about toilet paper of all things, and hand sanitizer, and just worrying about all these things. And I realize that we have to have some necessities, but I want to tell you this morning, as a child of God, He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly where we are this morning. He knows exactly what we need, and He knows when we need it. And we, as a child of God, should not go into a state of worry. We should not go into a state of uncertainty in our heart, in our life, because God knows exactly where we are and what He's doing. This thing of the coronavirus did not take Him by surprise. This thing of the quarantine and us having to meet in church this way did not take Him by surprise. And we find here in the book of James, chapter number 1, and down through verse number 8, James is addressing a group of Jews that had scattered after the stoning of Stephen. This was a time of unrest for the Jews. Can you imagine? They're gathered there in Jerusalem, and they're trying to worship and have church, and the Holy Spirit had just come in Acts chapter number 2, and Stephen is preaching full of the Holy Spirit, and those people that he was preaching to began to mock him, began to gnash on him with their teeth, the Bible says. They began to stop their ears and to run after him. Excuse us. And they began to attack him. And Christians were under attack during that time. And so we find in Acts chapter number 7 that Stephen is stoned. In Acts chapter number 8, the Christians begin to scatter. They begin to go to different places. I realize today that I don't believe that we're under a direct attack from the devil or from the world with what's going on. But the fact is, this morning, we are all scattered. We have people meeting in different cities across Alabama, possibly across the world this morning. Christians are scattered all over, and they're meeting in different places during this time. And James is writing to those Jews that were scattered and that were in fear for their lives because of what they believed. Again, I don't believe that this morning us meeting in our homes is a direct attack. But what I do believe is that what we are experiencing today and what we're seeing in our society is setting up this world and the world system for what's to come. We have seen how the media has controlled the thoughts and the hearts and the actions of the American people and the people all over the world. Now, I realize that this thing of the coronavirus has killed a lot of people. And our heart is saddened to hear of the many people that have died, especially in some of the other countries where there's been a large total amounts of people that have passed away. And we don't like to hear that at all. And so it is a serious thing in that aspect that they're having people die. And I realize that our president and the country's trying to do what they can to protect the people, and I understand that. But during all of that, we still find that the media and social media has controlled the fears and the emotions of a lot of people. This people going out and spending tons of money and buying extra toilet paper and extra this and that and cleaning supplies, and they're buying more than what they need. They're not using any discernment in what they're buying. We're seeing that a lot of that was driven. And so I believe that we're starting to see maybe the beginnings of what could happen in the near future. When the Antichrist shows up on the scene, he's going to have great authority, and he's going to be a charismatic person, and he's going to be able to control the public like we're seeing demonstrated now with some of the things with the media. I'm not saying for 1 minute that you don't need to know what's going on, but I am saying that we need to understand that God is the one in control of this thing and not the media. I want to say this morning that He knows what's going on, and there's nothing wrong with being aware and understanding, but there's a difference between being engulfed in it and hanging on every word that social media and the media has to say, and taking time to see what God wants us to know and reading His Bible. And as I go through the message today, and again probably at the end, I'm going to encourage our church to spend some extra time in your Bible this week. As we're quarantined and set aside, spend time with your family in the Bible. Spend time with your personal devotion in the Bible. And less time listening to the media and listening to social media. I'm telling you, the devil will use that. Your wicked flesh, we heard about in Sunday school this morning, will mess with you, and it'll try to take away your faith. It'll try to take away your hope and your peace that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so James is writing to these that are scattered. Again, I don't believe that being persecuted by having to do this, but I think the time may be coming. Brother Ellis, our pastor, said that I heard him say the other day in the video he was teaching that this could potentially be opening the door for having some kind of mark to buy groceries. I don't know that that would happen now. I really don't. But I could see easily how they could start incorporating these kind of things. And as a Bible believer, we should not be caught off guard. The Bible has told us that these times are coming. And so I want to preach this morning on do not worry. We this morning were technically scattered. Now, I pray that we're not scattered spiritually, but this morning we are meeting in different places, each in our own place having church, and we're trying to meet together here online. James encourages those believers that have been scattered to count it all joy. In verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. You say, James, you're writing to a group of people that have been scattered after the stoning of Stephen. These Christians or these believers were scattered because of fear of dying because the church was under persecution. But yet James tells them, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I realize the book of James doctrinally, spiritually, has different applications. Historically, he's writing to those that scattered after the stoning of Stephen. Doctrinally, we realize that times of the tribulation, there's going to be some scattering, and this book addresses those things. But spiritually speaking, the words of wisdom that he gives to those believers that are scattered are words that I believe that we can apply spiritually, and I believe that the Apostle Paul backs up these things that he says to the church. During this time, we'll give you a few of those verses. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. When you fall into times like this, it can be a joyful thing for the child of God to see His full power on display. It's times when of uncertainty. It's times of when some seem to worry and when others seem to not know what to do. It's times like this that the child of God can see the power of God on display. He can see the provision of God on display. We can see the protection of God during times like this. I know that we have many in our own congregation that fear for their jobs or maybe financially, and they might fear medically or however the case might be. But I want to tell you this morning, again, that God knows what He's doing, and He's still on the throne, and He's still in control of what's going on, and we need not worry. A matter of fact, when we go through hardship and we go through times like this, it ought to be that we can have some joy in knowing that God's there and that God's going to take care of us and that He will provide our needs. It had to have been an unsettling thing, maybe for some of those believers that scattered, to get a letter like this from James, one of the people that they looked up to, and he told them, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. I can imagine some of them, maybe as they read this letter to start off the book of James, they realized they were scattered and they want to know from James, what do we need to do to get through the times that we're going through? And he begins the book and begins the letter by telling them to count it all joy. I can imagine maybe some of the more skeptical brethren, some of the ones that worried about everything, some of the ones that did not experience the peace and joy that comes through a relationship with Christ, might have said, "How can James tell me to count it all joy? Does he not know what we're going through?" Some even this morning might say, "Brother Andrew, do you not understand that, man, there's germs everywhere in this coronavirus and the money might not be there?" I want to tell you this morning, church, count it all joy. Man, what a time to see the full display of God's power and His protection and His provision in our life. God said that He would never leave us or forsake us. And church, it's during times like this that maybe later on down the road, if the Lord tarries, you can look down to your children that might not understand. And you can look down and tell others later, say, "Hey, God was faithful. God was faithful to us during that time." There might have been times we didn't know where the finances might have been coming from or whatever. And let me tell you this, I know the government's going to try to help us out, but that is not from whence our help comes. It comes from God Almighty. And during this time, we ought to count it a joy. James encourages those believers to count it all joy. He also tells us something here that I believe we're seeing demonstrated right now. And I want to ask you a question after I read this verse. James chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Church, let me ask you this. If your faith, and I believe it is, if your faith right this very minute was standing in a courtroom, was standing on trial, would it be a witness for you or against you? And I believe that the world right now is watching us. And thanks to social media, they know exactly what you're thinking. They know exactly how you feel. They know if you're worried. They know, for those that like to post everything online and tell everybody how they're feeling and they repost things and all these things, they know and they see how you feel about it. They see the worry. They see the fear. And I'm telling you right now that your faith is on trial. And again, I said I recommend that everybody takes time to maybe get off of social media and stop worrying about all that stuff and telling everybody how you feel on there. And just get in your Bible and read it and let God know how you feel. Let Him be the one to help you through those times. But I want to tell you this right now. Your faith is on trial. It's not only on trial before the world. They're watching to see what you do. Your family's watching to see how you react to it. Your children are watching. But God is watching to see how your faith is going to react during times like this. And I want to tell you this, church. You think, some might think this is bad. I realize others, man, they're just enjoying the time off and time together, and praise God for it. But I want to tell you, church, that it's going to get worse. This world is going to get worse. The times that we live in are going to get worse. We live in a present evil world. That's what we live in. That thing that demons fell in love with. We live in that time. And it's going to get worse. And I'm telling you, church, that times like this ought to be the times that we use to strengthen our faith and our trust in God so that when we go through the hardships and we go through the more difficult times, you will have faith in Him and you'll have a relationship with Him where you can trust Him, where He can trust you. I fear for those that are so worried and so fearful right now. Because if that is your heart and you are that worried and panicking about what's going on now, you will not survive. Your nerves and your body and your mind will not survive what's to come. If the Lord tarries and we go on a little longer, it's going to get worse. The COVID-19 quarantine, we're going to see something worse come along. And I'm thankful that God's going to get us out of here before it gets real bad. I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church. But until then, things are going to get trying. And things are going to get testy. and your faith that's on trial right now and what you're experiencing going through, this is the times where you need to get closer to God. You don't need to get further away. You need to get closer to Him and let Him help you. Because it's during times like this that God wants to teach us something. We go through times like this, God is trying to strengthen our faith because there's more to come. And our families and our children and our church needs God. And they need to see that you have God. So I want to preach this message for a few minutes on why worry. I want to look at some of the things that James tells us and that Paul backs up, and I'll give you some of those references on why worry. Let me say that first of all, during times like this and times in the future, when you're going to be going through tribulation and hard times, I'm not talking about the tribulation, but going through times of uncertainty and through trials and hardships, number one, you need to be patient. You need to be patient. If I would have known the mass hysteria when it comes to toilet paper and some of the things people are panicking and hurting each other over, I might have would have preached this message a few weeks ago ahead of this thing, but we had no way of knowing, and God told me to preach it this morning. But we need to be patient. James chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says this, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, which is what's happening right now, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The times of hardship and the times of uncertainty and the times that, similar to what we're dealing with now, are times that will work your patience. The Bible tells us over in Romans chapter number 1, verse 1 through 5, Paul the Apostle writing, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Again, Paul saying glory. James saying have joy. We glory in tribulations also. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. So during this time, I want to say number one, you need patience. Now, the world and our minds have a definition of what patience is. If you were to look up patience in the dictionary, and I did, patience is defined in the dictionary as bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, talking about bearing these things, pain, bearing them without complaining, loss of temper, irritation, an ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance confronted with delay. That's the dictionary definition for patience. And that's the definition we automatically go to. We think about patience with our children, not sitting still and not doing what they're supposed to sometimes, or having patience with our spouse, or patience at work because somebody's getting on your nerves. That's what we think about when we think about patience. And a lot of times that is exactly what it's talking about. But in the context of the verses that I just read in James 1 and in Romans chapter 1, the Bible has a different definition of the word patience. And I'm going to give you some illustrations of that with some other verses. The biblical definition of patience is steadfastness. It's consistency, constancy. It's endurance. That's the biblical definition. And so what James and Paul are trying to tell us during times of frightening or being worried, that we need that tribulation to work patience in us. Not just so we could put up with something, but the patience of being steadfast, of being faithful, of being constant, of trying to endure and make it through it because we know that God's going to help us through it. The tribulation that we're going through, it is not an annoyance of something I'm trying to learn patience because I've got to be with my family all week or because I can't go outside or because I can't go to the store or whatever some people might think of as patience. But it's, hey, I'm trusting in God and I'm going to be faithful to Him. And the harder things get and the worse things get and the more fearful things get, the closer I'm going to get to God and the more faithful and steadfast I'm going to be to Him. That's what the patience is talking about. Let me give you two more passages of Scripture along those lines. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures." Sometimes we relate that patience with being comforted and, hey, the fact that we're going to make it through it and we're learning to be more patient. But it lists them as two things, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Now let me ask you this. Does the Scriptures need to be patient? They do not. No. The patience of the Scriptures is talking about a steadfastness, an endurance, a faithfulness. Now go on and read. The comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye might with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I don't want to think of God as being somebody that's nervous and as being aggravated. I know He does when He looks on us. I thankfully sees the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's things we can do to hurt our relationship with Him. Not our salvation, but our relationship. But when we talk about the God of patience, we're talking about the God of somebody that's steadfast and endurance and faithful. And then it says, and consolation. And that comforting. And that assurance that everything's going to be okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae. "And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." Oftentimes we think of that word patience and we coincide it with the word long suffering. That you're trying to be long suffering with somebody that you're trying to be patient with. And that might be the case in a lot of times. But here in Scripture, when we look at this word patience, we're a lot of times, and in these passages in James, we're dealing with the fact that He's steadfast, constant, endurance, and trying to get closer to God. During times like this, church, I want to encourage you to get closer to God. Let patience have its perfect work. Let the times that we're going through and will go through and the hardships, let those times get you closer to Him. Let those times bring you closer to His Word, and you can hide His Word in your heart. Let patience work in your heart and life. Let it have its way, so that the Bible goes on to say that you may be perfect before God, entire, wanting nothing. Can you say that this morning? Can you say that you have need of nothing because God is sufficient? If you cannot, I encourage you that you get with Him this morning and say, "Lord, You are enough." Can I tell you this morning, that your wants and your requests often reveal your heart. It often reveals your faith. There's nothing wrong with asking prayer requests. I'm not talking about that. Sometimes we ought to request people to pray about something we might be concerned about. But it's the way that you ask it at times. It's the way that you might approach it or the way that you might talk to people. You might have a request, but in your request and in your spirit and in your attitude about the request, you're telling people, I do not have faith in God. Your faith is on trial. Let patience have its perfect work. Get close to Him so that you can be perfect before God, entire and wanting nothing. Not only number one, do you need patience, but number two, you need wisdom. I see a great lack of wisdom and discernment in the world that we live in today. And I realize the lost person is not going to have that. How can they have true wisdom and true discernment without God? But I see a lack of discernment and wisdom among a lot of Christians all over the world. You can see it. They post it all over the internet. You see it out in public. They have no wisdom and no discernment. Those are things that during times like this and any hardship you might go through, we need the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man. We need the wisdom of God. You want to see the wisdom of man? Just turn on the television to a news station. You want to see the wisdom of man? Just turn on the social media that I'm asking you to get off of. You'll see the wisdom of man on full display. And it's panic, and it's turmoil, and it's frightening, and everything else. We desperately need the wisdom of God during times like this and during times of hardship or anything else we might go through. Look with me there in James chapter 1. You should still be in James chapter 1, verse number 5 and 6. During times of hardship, during times of scattering and persecution, this is what James told those believers. And I believe we can apply this to us. Not only do they, number one, need patience, but number two, they needed wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, James chapter 1, verse 5, verse through 6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. James told those believers, as I'm telling you now by the authority of the Word of God, if you need wisdom and you need discernment, ask God. Amen. This should be all the time, but especially during times like this and what's to come. You just need to ask God. And when I mean ask God, I'm not talking about somebody making a somewhat spiritual comment on social media. I'm talking about you on your hands and knees and in this precious word and ask God. There's so many verses in our Bible concerning wisdom. There would not be time to go over them all today. There's not time. You can go read through the book of Hebrews. It's a book of wisdom. The book of Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. But I'm telling you, church, we desperately need the wisdom of God in these times that we're living in today. We need to spend more time in His Word and less time caring about man's wisdom. It will drive you crazy. Just in the short time that I've spent trying to figure out legally what we can do as a church when it comes to having church, spending time online trying to figure that out, I was bombarded with man's wisdom on this thing of coronavirus. And again, I'm not against you being up to speed on what we're supposed to do or what's going on, but I'm telling you what, we're spending too much time trying to see what they're saying and less time on what God has to say during these times. And I'm thankful that my Bible is just as relevant today as it's ever been. No matter what we're going through, it's relevant. We must have the wisdom that comes from God, that comes from heaven and not the world. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans 11, 33. I'm going to read it for you. The Bible says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. I'll tell you this morning, church, that the wisdom and knowledge of God, there is no depth to it. You cannot reach the bottom of it. I'm telling you, it's ever reaching and it's ever expanding. I'm telling you, we can't even fathom how much wisdom and knowledge He has. And the Bible tells us in James that if we would just ask God, that He'll give it to you. And not only will He give it to you, but He will give it to you liberally. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, all he did to get that wisdom was just ask God for wisdom. And I'm telling you, that's all we need. And church, this applies to not just during odd, uncertain times like we're in right now. This applies to everyday life. We need to ask God for wisdom in raising our children. We need to ask God for wisdom with our family, our spouse, our marriage, our home, our church. We need the wisdom of God and not that of man. For some reason in our minds in America, people think that the church is an American institution. And oftentimes they try to run their church and their home and their family like it's an American institution. But it's not. It's a God institution. The church is to be a biblical institution. The family, the home, your children, your marriage, the way that you're raising your family and your grandchildren ought to be a biblical, godly wisdom way of doing it. Not the way of man. Not the way of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 17. I didn't write down the right chapter here, I don't believe, but I do have the verse. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Not with man's wisdom of words. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. They don't understand that if they're not saved. But unto us which are saved, this preaching of the cross is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We need Bible preaching all the time. God chose Bible preaching and He chose His Word to be the means by which we receive wisdom. We need Bible study on the home. We need Bible preaching on the home. We need Bible preaching on marriage. We need Bible preaching on how to treat one another. We need the Bible and Bible preaching and God to give us our wisdom, not of this world. During these times, everybody's shut down all over and all these people are online and they're doing all these things and you realize all the little g gods of this world are having to be put on the sidelines. All these athletes and all these sports figures and all these concerts and all these things are all having to resort to going online to try to talk to people. And everybody has their opinion. And everybody has their wisdom on the situation. And I want to tell you, church, that we ought to get our wisdom, we ought to get our knowledge and our understanding from God and His Word and not from this world. During times like this, why worry? Get some wisdom. Get patience. We need patience. We need wisdom. And I'm telling you, church, we need it more now than we ever have. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3:16, we learned this in Patch the Pirate, and all the Patch the Pirate kids should know this. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, not just some of it, in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Church, we need wisdom today. We need it every day. And we're going to get it from the Word of God. And it's not just some wisdom. It's not just to tell me how to be saved. It's not just to tell me that I can't lose my salvation. But I'm here to tell you this Bible gives you wisdom for every day of your life. So, Brother Andrew, I've been going through some things and I don't know what can help me. I'm telling you, this book is alive. It is a living word. And it'll give you wisdom for whatever you're dealing with and whatever you're going through. Church, we need our Bible every day. And that's why one of the things I'm trying to encourage you, and I keep saying it, turn off your phone, turn off your television, and please get in your Word. We need the wisdom. We need the guidance from God. Do you realize that wisdom from God, the patience that God is teaching us through hardships and through tribulations and trials, those things will help your faith in God. And at the end of the day, that's what we have to put our faith, all of our trust in Him. How do we do it? Tribulation worketh patience. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. Look with me in James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 as we try to finish. But let him, James 1, 6 through 8, but let him ask in faith. Ask God for wisdom in faith. You know what that means? That means asking Him like you believe He's going to give it to you. Trusting that you believe He's going to give it to you. The Bible says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Don't go to God and ask for help and be half-hearted about it. Don't go and ask God for wisdom and for the patience that we're preaching about, but in the back of your mind believing that it's not going to happen. I had a man tell me the other day when I was talking to him about a trial that he's going through, something in his personal life. He needed some finances and said, I don't know how I'm going to get the money. And I just said, brother, I'll pray for you, and I'm encouraging you. You need to pray. Just pray that God provides and pray. And he's like, yeah, well, just tell that to the people I owe money to. He's like, I'm praying, but just tell that to the people I owe money to. And you know what? I thought of these verses, and I even mentioned these verses to him. I said, brother, you're not asking nothing wavering. You're pretty much saying, yeah, I'm praying, but I don't think God's going to do it. Man, I'm telling you what, He is the creator of the heaven and earth. And all of our faith and our trust needs to be placed in Him. We're not perfect. We're sinful man. We cannot put our faith in each other. We need to put it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Asking nothing wavering. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I'm telling you, church, we're seeing double-minded Christians on display all over during these times. Unstable in all of his ways. And I'm sad to say that we're seeing that. And it's sad to see it. Too many Christians today are wavering. I'm telling you, church, if the Lord tarries, and I pray He doesn't, but if He tarries, it's going to get worse. And those that do not have their faith and trust in God will struggle. But you don't have to struggle. The Christian life does not have to be difficult. You don't have to bear the burdens alone. Christ told those to come unto Him, take His yoke. His yoke is easy and light. Let Him carry your burden. We're going to play a song of invitation. I appreciate Brother Bobby McDonald recorded a song this morning that we're going to play as a song of invitation. And during this song of invitation, I want you to ask God to examine your faith. Your faith is on trial before God, before the church, before the world, before the devil. Is your faith, as it judges you, is it going to judge you as being fearful, full of fear, or is it going to judge you as being faithful to God? We're going to play this song of invitation now, and I ask that you pray, as Brother Bobby sings, you pray and ask God to show you, and then as soon as we get done with the song of invitation, we'll come back and we'll close in a word of prayer.
Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as close to thee, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, it's my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, oh, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord.
All right, church, I pray that the service today was a blessing. I know it's different, but thank you for watching today and the comments we received. Amen during the service as an encouragement to me. And I want you really, church, to pray, read your Bible, all the things we always encourage you to do, but you need it now more than ever. And if you don't have a habit of reading your Bible every day and praying, develop it now. This is a good time to do it. And if anybody needs me to pray with them or anything special, please call me or text me. And I love you, church. I love our church family dearly. And I want to be an encouragement and a blessing to you in any way that we can and our family can. And so until we meet again, we'll have to do this. So as of right now, Wednesday night at 6:30, we will meet right back here. We'll have prayer. And so we're going to have you send in prayer requests probably prior to the service. And we'll have prayer, and then we'll have a special guest preacher on Wednesday night. We'll let you know what that is. Wednesday is going to preach before I do my Bible study. And we're still on the home. We're dealing with the wives and the pattern for the wives. So we'll be back Wednesday night at 6:30. Let's pray. Your Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for being a great God, a great comfort during times like this, Father. Thank you for your word that gives us instructions on what we can do to draw close to you, Father, and to put our faith and trust in you. I pray, God, that you would please continue to strengthen our church, Lord. Be with us not only physically but spiritually during this time. I pray that we not fall away, God, but draw close to you. God, thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. God, I pray you'd help us to have a closer walk with thee, as Brother Bobby just sang. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you for what you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.